Good morning and a very warm welcome to each of you on what is a lovely, warm, sunny day. Not to rub it in, but it has been like this the whole time that we were away in Sweden. But I'm glad to have been able to bring it back with us so that we can all enjoy summer together. We do have a few notices before we get started. And so we'll start, if we may, by inviting Peter to come forward, because I know you'd like to say a few words.
I don't know if everybody knows, but my wife Eve has been very ill. She's only got a few days. But I'd like to thank everybody for all their prayers, thoughts, messages, and their love, your love. Eve was in Braxton Park for 10 days. They sent her home, and she'd been home for 5 weeks, and she hadn't been able to eat a thing, just water, drink water. But the Dr. Boundy from the Penn Surgery, she's like an angel. She's been so good. And Rennie Grove Care, I mean, they've gone out of the way, and the equipment they've supplied and the care they've given is just beyond belief. But Eve is so strong, and she's still even joking. Some of the jokes I can't get, but our daughter sort of is off work, living with us, and it'll only be a few days now, so I think she'll be with us. And when she passes, she'll be with our beloved son Mark, who died 25 years ago. He took his own life. And Eve knows I've come this morning. She sends her love. And she insisted upon me coming. I said, I wanted to come last week, but I couldn't. I just couldn't. I said it all good. Anyway, she's in no pain, which is a blessing. But I say, they've took all off all medication now. And I say, she's just drinking water. But she's still joking, which is wonderful. Anyway, she does send her love, and there's probably things I've left off, but just Rennie Grove is fantastic, Dr. Boundy, and all the Penn surgeries, just incredible. And got so much equipment there, the special bed, commode, and you know, so I've got to climb over everything to get to it, you know what I mean? But the other day, it's quite funny, well, not funny, you want to think about it. We're trying to have a bath, as Claudia sort of, we got Eve in the bath, got a special seat and stuff, and then couldn't get her out, so I've had my dressing gown, I've thrown my dressing gown off, my slippers off, and jumped in, and it wasn't until the next day, Claudia said to me, you know you had nothing on under your dressing gown. So this was quite funny. Anyway, sort of, there's probably a lot more I should say, but she sends her love and sort of thanks everybody for their prayers, their phone calls and visits, and you know, so that's about it. So thank you all very much. God bless.
Thank you, Peter. And from all of us to you, we send you back to Eve with the love of everyone here. Eve has been such a big part of this community throughout all the years. And I just want to say on behalf of everyone, please do send our love to her and be assured that we are praying for you and for her at this time. Do you want to take a seat? As Peter takes a seat, let us just take a moment just to reflect on all that he's just shared with us as we pray for them at this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us, but in Christ Jesus have united our lives with your life, with a love that survives even death. We thank you for the wonderful couple you have called Peter and Eve to be here in this place, for the acts of love and service they have shared amongst us, their fellowship, their friendship, their wisdom and advice. We pray that your Holy Spirit will rest upon them and their family at this time. Open their eyes to see glimpses of your love each day, that they may know your presence and your comfort with them. And as Eve comes to the end of her race, enfold her with your love, that she may see you face to face, where joy and peace are made complete, to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's also with some sadness that I am able to report to you that on Friday, Joyce Veacock also made her final steps into the presence of the Lord. And we will be remembering her in our prayers later on today as well. We've also had a situation which was unfortunately timed, though unfortunate in the first place, with Gail Wellings. As I'm sure you're all aware, just before I went away on holiday, she suffered a fall as a part of which she's broken her hip on the same side as her prosthetic leg. This has meant that we've decided while I was gone that we would have the office closed, because it didn't seem to me wise to try and cobble lots of different systems into each other when we didn't know really what the full nature of the situation was. So the office has been closed, and we have all felt the loss of Gail's presence there, perhaps most visibly with things like the pew news sheets not being available on Sundays with the readings and notices and so forth. But that's just the tip of the iceberg of all the emails and other bits of administration that's normally going on in that office. Now, you might hope that now that I'm back, it will all happen again. It's not going to. Gail is still in hospital. For now, I will be going with David to go and visit her at some point soon. And we will take things slowly and intentionally. Services will happen. Funerals will happen, and administration will happen, but maybe not at the same speed that we have been going with. I really appreciate the offers of help that people have made, of can I help with this and can I help with that? And the answer is maybe at some point, but for now, we're going to assess and think carefully and move intentionally, rather than making a slightly messy situation even more complicated. For the time being, that does mean there won't be any pew news sheets. I'm about to give a couple of notices. If I've forgotten any, wave at me and shout out what your notice is that you want people to know, and that's absolutely fine. We will hopefully have the email newsletter back up and running from the end of this week, and then in a couple of weeks' time, we'll see where we get to with the paper ones. But we will get there if you're all happy to come along with us together. And so long as you're also happy to be praying for Gail in her recovery, but also for the office as we figure out how best to manage things moving forwards. Notice that I have been asked to give by David Carter, is that the Red Lion lunches, which normally happens on this Sunday in the month, is happening today. I don't know whether people are pre-booked or not, but if you're normally going along for that and want to know if anyone else is going, at least David is going, so do go along and have a nice Sunday lunch. I'm quite pleased to be able to say that this afternoon, although it's not for everyone to come along to, you might be interested to know, we have a baptism at Holy Trinity for the Brown family, which some of you might twig who that is. That's going to involve a reoccurrence of a familiar face coming to baptise one Caleb Brown, aka Mike Bissett's grandson. That's happening at Holy Trinity this afternoon, so please do remember that family in your prayers as they celebrate his life and her faith and everything that's going on there. Coming up this week, we have a very important service on Wednesday, which you're not expected to go to, other than the church wardens, because they are going to go to the Archdeacon's visitation to be sworn in proper as your elected church wardens. So at this point, I should have checked beforehand, I think it's okay for me to say, we've got the wonderful Catherine as our church warden throughout this year, as she has been for a good long while, but this is going to be her last year for the time being as church warden. So be praying for her, be praying for us, as we think about all that's coming in the future. You can ask her about it. It's all to do with family, very sensible, practical reasons. There's no ill blood or anything like that. But we're very grateful for everything that she and David have been doing over this last year and will do through this year. But we do need to start having a little bit of an eye on the future. Am I forgetting notices? I feel like I am. Wave at me if you have one. Graham, do you have anything?
No, you're fine.
No. The only other thing is I would just like to say a very big thank you to all of you who were involved in Open Gardens while I was away. I have heard tremendous things. It was a really good turnout. And most importantly, I'm very gutted to have missed out on what sounded like some very delicious cakes. So thank you, everyone, for your contributions for that.
Wednesday.
Communion. Yes. Wednesday, midweek communion is here. I have been told I will be here. It is in my diary. At 12 noon. It is in my diary, but not in my mind. And that brings us very neatly back to the real business at hand, which is the worship of God here in this place. So I'll stop talking. Let's stand and sing our first hymn, which is number 107, Fight the Good Fight. Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts, by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please be seated? Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our name, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our collect prayer for this, the fourth Sunday after Trinity. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal, but we lose not our hold on things eternal. Grant this, Heavenly Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We remain seated to hear from the Word of God.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the first book of Samuel, chapter 17, beginning to read at verse 4. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come out down to me." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. David asked the man standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out of his stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran over and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from its sheath. After that, he killed him. He cut off his head with the sword. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 1. "As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, 'In the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you.' I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path." Excuse me, the pollen's got me. Apologies. "So our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak to you as to my children. Opened wide your hearts also." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We stand and sing our next hymn, number 1222, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the seas obey him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please be seated? Two dramatic readings, one boring letter. That is the temptation that we could have with our readings this morning. Why would we listen to Paul whittling on about things being difficult when instead we've got David and Goliath, that great adversarial battle, that epic showdown? You can see the movie playing out in your mind as you're watching it. And if you come back for an episode in a couple of episodes' time, you've got the storm and the waves and the ship is about to sink. And Jesus isn't doing anything, and are they going to die just before the end? That's where the cliffhanger would be, isn't it? They're about to die, and suddenly, dun-dun-dun, wait until next week. And we find that Jesus stands up and says, stop, it's fine. Why would we listen to Paul when we have such vivid, wonderful stories in front of us? Well, I think there's a really important reason why we should look at those stories after looking at Paul. It could be tempting for us to get caught up in the cinematic, legendary world of Bible stories and to hold them in our mind as things similar to, say, the Odyssey, with Odysseus's trip also involving storms at sea and divine encounters and moral stories and things going on following the Iliad. We've got all sorts of other stories. Perhaps you're a Disney fan and you want to talk about Beauty and the Beast. Perhaps you're a more sort of artistic person and you want to talk about some French film that no one's ever actually seen but was by this director who's really quite promising. What do we do when we have biblical stories? And how do we hold them apart from other stories? Because there are other stories out there which make a good point about a great deal of things. That's why television and movies and cinema are so effective. It taps into our love of stories which we have received, handed down throughout the generations. Someone once said that human beings are storied people. We have our own stories, and we tell stories, and we're remembered in stories. So why would we listen to Paul? Especially when he's saying, it's difficult. We're suffering beatings. We're hungry. We're imprisoned. We're tired. Why would we listen to that? We might think, well, Paul was writing to his context and it was very specific, and the persecuted church in those days was trying to be arrested, they were being threatened. Maybe that happens elsewhere in the world. And indeed, there are places elsewhere in the world where it's very dangerous to do exactly what we are doing right now. It's very dangerous to enter a church. You have to have police or bodyguards on the door to stop those with bombs, guns, and knives from coming in. Some places you can't even have it publicized that this is a church building. You have to meet surreptitiously, entering in through back doors and not gaining any attention, or else facing imprisonment, beatings, hunger, and sleepless nights. It's very easy for us to think that Paul is writing to, therefore, a persecuted church. And there's a difficulty that we have in our minds in believing that two different things which are true at the same time. We tend to have this perspective that if someone over there is having a very difficult time of being the church and it's very dangerous, well, then our difficulties pale in comparison. Indeed, we do this with our own lives and circumstances. We say, well, so-and-so is going through a much harder time than I am. Therefore, I just need to suck it up and get on with things, because at least it's not that bad. And their situation may be difficult, but the situations we each are facing, our own struggles, are still struggles. they are still difficult. And when Paul is giving this litany of difficult things that he and his fellow workers for the gospel are enduring, he's not doing it as a pile of big things and accolades. He's not trying to compete and say, look, I've got it so much harder than you. He's trying to say, I've experienced each of the difficulties that you are experiencing. Some of you have been beaten. I've been beaten. Some of you have been imprisoned. I've been imprisoned. Some of you are having sleepless nights. I know what sleepless nights are like. Some of you are hungry. Sometimes I have been starving. I understand your suffering. But in the middle of all these things I've experienced, I found there's these other things that come with them. I find that God gives us purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. These are not a list of two separate things. This is one list, all in together. The difficulties that the church was facing, the difficulties which people face, that we're facing, are difficulties in the midst of which God blesses us with spiritual growth and development. It's only by being subjected to suffering and difficulty that we learn patience. It's only when we have received a form of injustice that we learn the value of kindness. It's only when we realize how to be strong that we can be tender. There is a difference between tenderness and weakness. And so what Paul is writing here is about the heart of our experience, both as individuals and as a church. He knows what it's like not to have an administrator. He knows it. He had to beg and borrow and ask someone else to take this letter for him to these people because he didn't have someone at hand to do it. Often he says, everyone has deserted me. Another time he says, please can someone get me my cloak? I left it there and I'm cold. He knows what it's like to struggle financially. He knows what it's like to struggle pretty much in whichever way we are struggling. We might have symptoms that are indicative of our culture, but the underlying reaction and dynamics is nearly always about relationships and circumstances and practicalities. And the Bible understands us. Paul's words here are inspired because through Paul, God is saying, I understand your struggle. But in the midst of your struggle, here is kindness, purity, knowledge, patience, and genuine love, if your eyes are open to see it. And the last one on that list is the power of God. And this is where those stories come in. In the midst of our ordinary lives, the power of God, which is at work in those dramatic stories, is realized. So then when we look at David and Goliath, and we see that the whole army of Israel is trembling in their boots at the sight of this semi-giant man with this giant spear of burnished bronze, shouting and screaming and saying, look, I will kill all of you by myself if I have to. Send one out. Surely there's someone. Takes David, a shepherd's boy, an example of someone who is strong, but strong in character rather than in stature. He uses a sling which multiplies the force and is very effective. He's not going to go head to head and try and wrestle him to the ground. In this scene of drama, we have, on the one hand, technical ability overpowering raw strength. But it's clear from the bits that go before it and just after it that the deeper story of David and Goliath is not actually about David and Goliath. It's all about Saul. The favor of God is no longer on Saul as king. He has sent Samuel to choose David to be the future king. And following this example, David has glory and honor and renown. He is dressed in fine armor, this time it fits him. He is able to go out and he is given command of an army, hopefully so that he'll go off and die somewhere, so that Saul doesn't have to deal with him. But no matter what difficulty Saul throws at David, God turns it and uses it to bless him. The story of David is one of blessings in the midst of adversity. This is the recurring theme, all the way from David and Goliath through to Ziklag, where his wife and children and all of his men's families are kidnapped and taken away, and they have to go and find out how to rescue them. It's constantly one disaster after another. Even when he has the chance to kill Saul, he says, no, I won't do it because you are God's anointed one. I must do the right thing. We have this adversity in the midst of righteousness going hand in hand the whole way through. But the favor of the Lord rested upon David. And that meant everything. That's why half the Psalms, well, not quite half, but a good chunk of the Psalms that he wrote are psalms that people still today find incredibly powerful for giving us comfort and strength in the midst of our own strugglings and questioning. He experienced the power of God in all that he did. You might say to yourself, but I'm not David. You know, David wasn't David. He was a shepherd boy left at home. All his brothers had gone off to war to seek glory and to fight for Israel. David was, other than God, forgotten. You are all David's. You are all seen by God, even if it feels like other people around you aren't always noticing the things that are going on. And the power of God is in you and with you, so long as you persevere and follow him. For the power of God is what we have witnessed most powerfully in our gospel reading. And I say witnessed because what a cinematic scene we had. And this again is not a story amongst stories. This is a testimony. The tradition is that Mark was probably written by someone who Peter knew, telling his stories to make sure that they could be passed on to the future generations. Can you imagine having the opportunity to sit down at dinner over a pint and talk with Peter and hear these stories of that moment that he spent with Jesus? And one day he says, well, you know, there was this one time, you won't believe what happened here. We'd had a long day and Jesus was teaching all of these parables and no one really understood it, but there was a big crowd. And he was knackered, and he said, look, we've got to get on over the lake to the next town. We're going to go and preach there. And we said, it's okay, we'll get in the boat. We've got a cushion here. Have a nap, and we'll get you to the other side, and it'll be fine. And it was a lovely day. We're out in the middle, and out of nowhere, a storm came up. Waves were coming. I had to grab a bucket. John was nowhere to be seen. He's no use, is he? Bartholomew suddenly tapped me on the shoulder and said, look, we've not got enough buckets, and he's still asleep. Are you going to wake him up? So I said, well, teacher, don't you care? Like, we're drowning here. You know, I'll be honest. I thought we were gone. I thought we were gone. And then he gets up, and he just looks at me, kind of sleepily. Sort of shrugs his shoulder, like, you know, am I bothered? Yes, I'm bothered. I'm tipping water out of the boat. And he just stands up and says, peace, be still. Blow me down. It went dead calm. Dead calm. And I didn't know whether I was more afraid when the waves were going to capsize us, or of the fact that they listened to him. I'll tell you what, we all sat together and we didn't know what to make of it. Who is this teacher who even the winds and the sea obey him? This must have been what it was like for the Israelites when they saw the glory on the mountain. You had to be there. When we think of it in this way, as an experience, as a story being passed on, the power of that situation becomes much more tangible. And we make connections in our minds to other parts of the scriptures, like in Genesis, where the world was formless and was void and formless, and there was the waters of chaos over the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God hovers as the voice of God speaks and land comes up and is formed. The same voice which spoke creation into being is on the voice and lips of Jesus, saying to nature, calm down, peace. If he has that power over creation, and the power to save people's lives by having power over creation, no wonder he is the one who can do it all by dying for us on the cross. It makes the stakes of the cross so much more clear. The one who has all the power in the world of the world lays it down and for our sake dies for us that we might be forgiven of our sins. And that love is so powerful that the Father, by the Spirit, raises Jesus from the dead that we might never be separated from him. Elsewhere in Romans, Paul talks about no powers of life, no powers of angels or demons or death itself can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We are David's. We're forgotten people. And yet that full power of the God who can stop the oceans from being a storm is committed to our salvation. And that power is with us in our own personal struggles, with sin, with one another, and with ourselves. If we will but repent and trust in Jesus, if we will, as Paul encourages us, open wide our hearts also, we can be filled with the love of God and endure into glory through all that life contains. So as we approach the communion table, let us open wide our hearts and prepare to taste that pledge of the power of God's love. God's love and power truly is cinematic and dramatic. But when we eat the bread and drink the wine, that power is in us. To the glory of God. Amen.
Lord, you have created us in love and for eternity, and you gave us your Son that we should not perish but have everlasting life. As you give us life and love, as you give us yourself, help us to give our lives, our love, and ourselves to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As those who trust and hope in the living God, let us pray for our government. Let us pray during this period of political no man's land that the outcome in July will give us a strong government that will go forward to make good decisions, act with wisdom and integrity in the pursuit of the common good throughout the country. Let us pray also for all the other countries around the world, also holding or have had elections, South Africa, India, France and America, and give thanks that their peoples all have the opportunity and ability to vote. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks for our ministry team of Samuel, Graham, David and Mary as they continue with their leading of our worship. We give thanks for our community and for the coming together of everybody for recent community events, Open Gardens, the Fun Run and the party on the Common last weekend. And we pray that in our community we may continue to share, help and support each other. We give you thanks for all those who've been a strength and a support to us in our lives, and for all those who've transformed our lives by their help. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, at this time of the year, when our young people are coming to the end of their exams, surround them with your love. Help us to be a support to them in their final exams and studies. As we look forward to the summer holidays and make holiday plans, we ask that you watch over all of us as we enjoy special times with our friends and families, and we thank you for the joy of being able to be with one another. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Give strength to all those who are caring for loved ones who are ill, and comfort all those who have lost loved ones recently. We pray for all those known to us in our hearts, all those we know who are suffering and in pain, and we bring them to you now, Lord, for you to give them strength and courage. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, we give you thanks for our families and all those that we love. As the holiday time approaches, let us savour and enjoy the time spent with our families and friends, and let us be filled with warmth and joy that you are in our lives, and let your love surround us all. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Stand and confess together our faith. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through whom all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The waves were coming into the boat, such that it was already swamped. And the Lord stood and said, "Be still. Peace." Peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Our next hymn is number 297. Service continues on page 10. Lord Jesus Christ, you came to live among us in time and space. Grant that in this holy feast we may live in the power of your eternal kingdom, who are alive and reign, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is
with us. Lift up your heart.
Let us
give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Would you please be seated? You are worthy of our thanks and praise, Lord God of truth, for by the breath of your mouth you have spoken your word, and all things have come into being. You fashioned us in your image, and placed us in the garden of your delight. Though we chose the path of rebellion, you would not abandon your own. Again and again, you draw us into the covenant of grace. You give your people the law and taught us by your prophets to look for your reign of justice, mercy, and peace. As we watch for the signs of your kingdom on earth, we echo the song of the angels in heaven, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God, you are the most holy one, enthroned in splendor and light. Yet in the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, you reveal the power of your love, made perfect in our human weakness. Embracing our humanity, Jesus showed us the way of salvation. Loving us to the end, he gave himself to death for us. Dying for his own, he set us free from the bonds of sin, that we might rise and reign with him in glory. On the night he gave himself up for us all, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, we proclaim the death that he suffered on the cross. We celebrate his resurrection, his bursting from the tomb, and rejoice that he reigns at your right hand on high as we long for his coming in glory. As we recall the one perfect sacrifice of our redemption, Father, by your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ and make us a perfect offering in your sight. Look with favor on your people and in your mercy hear the cry of our hearts. Bless the earth, heal the sick, let the oppressed go free, and fill your church with power from on high. Gather your people from the ends of the earth to feast with all your saints at the table in your kingdom, where the new creation is brought to perfection in Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. We pray as our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith with thanksgiving. Eternal God, comfort of the afflicted and healer of the broken, you have fed us at the table of life and hope. Teach us the ways of gentleness and peace, for all the world may acknowledge the kingdom of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Remembering these great stories that we have heard from the Old Testament and the Gospel, but also the hope in Paul's letters, let us stand and sing with joyful voices, Be Thou My Vision, number 42.
Thank you.
my soul's shelter, be thou my strong tower. O raise thou me heavenward, great power of my power. May the power of the risen Lord be at work in each and every one of us this day and evermore. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be upon you and remain with you, now and forever. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.